Good morning. Awesome to see you all here. Couldn't wait to get out and play in the snow again, that's for sure. It'll pass. Mark read a very powerful part of Scripture. And I want to start our sermon with that understanding of that Scripture in 1 Peter. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, and kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. It's very, very powerful to hear words like that. And the emphasis on those words are not about me doing, but rather what God has done. And Peter's speaking to us as believers. With that being said, for the second Sunday of Easter, we'll read, actually not the calendar text, a different text from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7. We're going to read verses 1 through 14. If you are willing and able, please rise for the reading of the Gospel text. Matthew chapter 7, beginning at verse 1, reading in Jesus' name. Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, ye shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, Let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in your own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote in thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before the swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again against you. And ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom, if a son shall ask of bread, will give him a stone? Or if ask a fish, will give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Therefore all things whatsoever ye shall would men should do to you, do even that so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Enter ye in the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there shall be that go therein. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth to life, and few there are that find it. Amen. Please be seated. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would add to this word, that you would allow it to speak, that you would allow it to be bold, but most of all, Father, that it would be done in love. We ask that you sanctify us in the truth, because we know, without a doubt, your word is truth. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. This is kind of a statement that we always throw out there. When we find confrontation in our life, or we find somebody, especially from the church, that may bring an accusation against us, the first thing we say is, judge not lest you be judged. We got that memorized. We probably have that more memorized at times than we do saved by grace through faith, for it's a gift of God. And we use this more or less for defense, so that we can turn around and say, well, you're no better. It's true. I am no better. And I am no worse. The reality of human beings is we are all sinners in need of grace. And in through the work of Jesus Christ, God says yes. And He brings forth grace. We have a tendency to call out our special sins in life. We have a tendency to want to reach out into certain areas and feel that we need to really take an active role or a stance against such and such. What is our desire? When we make such a stance and we make it public or we make it private, when we turn around and we cut people off because we feel the behavior that they're in is wrong, what is our desire? And that is the key. Is it to win the argument? Is it to justify our lives? Or as Paul would say, is our earnest heart's desire is that all would be saved. This judgment doesn't mean that you can't bring the Word of God to people. That'd be foolish. He's speaking on the Sermon on the Mount, and he's really bringing out a very, very direct understanding. He just walked them through a pile of, if you could say it this way, understandings. Jesse often has this tendency, and you've heard it from me before, but often thinks that he's pretty good. And I feel content sometimes in my goodness. I don't have to pick on you. Maybe you have the same problem as me, I don't know. Maybe you think you're really all that. Paul says, don't think more highly of yourself than you ought. We can definitely look around in people's lives and see struggles and difficulties, but do we examine our own hearts? Do we examine our own families before we start casting stones? Do we realize that there is difficulty all around us, and to point out everybody's frailty is not always the answer, but rather that we would point out Jesus Christ, that they would believe and that they would have a hope that they would be able in reality by the power of the Holy Spirit to make the changes in their life. Too many times Jesse wants to just tell people, stop sinning and then you'll be okay. Jesus tells the woman that's caught in adultery, very plainly, where are your accusers? She said, I have none. They're all gone. They all walked away. Because Jesus, we know the story. If you don't know the story, please read it in the Scripture. He says, neither do I accuse you. But he does make a qualifier. He says, go and sin no more. How? How do you go and sin no more? In and through Jesus Christ. We preached not too many Sundays ago, and that's why it's important to be in church consistently. Because sometimes these sermons don't make a lot of sense if you don't hear what was said before. But we preached on the aspect, I am the vine, you are the branches, and my Father is the husbandman. Being tied to Christ, we have this ability to bring forth fruit. Too many times we don't tell people about the vine. We just tell them they're an unworthy branch and we're cutting you off because the reality of it is you're not bearing any fruit. This judgment that Jesus is speaking about is condemnation. That we would not cut people off, but rather that we would have the heart and the ability to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to them, to encourage them to see a better way. Can you imagine if you turn around and you talk to an addict and all you do is tell them about the addiction? To sit there and slam them with the addiction and the abuses of the addiction and all these other things? What hope would they have? Even in a worldly standard, we would speak of recovery. We would speak of getting a life back. We would speak of the rewards of recovery. We would speak of all of these things. But for some reason in the church, oftentimes, we want to speak about the addiction and beat them over the head with the addiction until they can't see straight. And that will do nothing but drive them to the addiction. So he's not talking about bringing the Word of God to affirm what is right and what is good. But Jesus speaks very powerfully to the aspect of, what is your purpose? What is the ultimate goal? He says, don't judge. He said, don't judge with that condemnation style. He says, because in reality, you will be brought under the same scrutiny. Doesn't he say that in another part, that if you're not willing to forgive, that you won't be forgiven? I believe it's in the scripture somewhere. We should look that up. Judge not. He said, because you will be judged. He says, because whatever judgment that you actually run out into this world judging people in, he says, that same judgment will be brought against you. Ouch! Do you want to be judged as a condemner? Or do you want to have Ruth? Do you want to enter into this world as one that cuts off ears? Or do you want to be an encourager that speaks truth, that people may hear and believe, and by believing, in reality, have life-changing measures? Are we trying to go out there and make whited sepulchers out of people? What does this have to do with Easter? Pastor, you're just depressing me. You really are. You're nuts. This has everything to do with Easter. Because Jesus Christ died for each and every one that we would even bring judgment on. He died for that sin. And when we can't get our mind off of the sin and we focus only on the sin, we don't see the person who needs redemption. And we don't bring forth the message of hope that they may find and claim redemption in and through Christ. Do you remember John the Baptist? He was an amazing guy. And he never went around condemning in reality. He said, behold the Lamb of God that what? Takes the sin of the world away. We are Christians, and we speak forth life as Christians, and we bring forth life as Christians because we have that same hope for ourselves. We have tasted the goodness. Do we think we're so smart? Do we think we have so much intellect that we know more than God? God knew every single sinner upon this earth, and He still yet chose to die for them. It's time for us to realize this. It's time for us to wake up. It's time for us, in all honesty, to celebrate the Easter season with victory, with the hope of the gospel. It's time for us to be real. I am a sinner in need of grace. Though I am a pastor, though I had gone through seminary, oh, that really makes you something, don't it? Though I have degrees, oh, that's wonderful, you're brilliant. I am a sinner in need of grace, just like you, just like the rest of them. And God has revealed that to me. And He has also shown me His grace. He has shown me His mercy. And He calls for me to be His ambassador, to enter into this world, and to exemplify, to show, to reveal Him. That's the Christian church. Why? Why are we focused on the negative so many times? Why do we enter into this world and focus on the negative and not bring forth the hope of the gospel that by faith through grace the person may hear and believe and that heart of stone, the action of sin, may be changed internally, not externally? Do we think God can't handle it? He says, whatever judgment that you give, that's what you're going to be accounted to. And He's turning around and He's saying, you guys are cutting people out. You're cutting people out. He says, why can you? He says, why do you behold? He says, really, the mote that is in the brother's eye, but you can't even see the beam. So if we could liken this, we've all heard it likened before, it's like a little sliver. Man, you're paying attention to your brother so much. You're paying attention to their actions so much. You can see the smallest flaw in their eye. But you're walking around with a big beam in your head. Do we think that we live our life righteously in a certain way, so therefore we're good? We know, and we'll all admit, well, we may fail a little bit. Fail a little bit? Does James say we can fail a little bit and be righteous? He says if you break the law in any place, even in any little period, exclamation point, whatever it may be, you've broken it all. So it's not about us. It is about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is about the life that He gives, not just to me, but in reality pours out to this world, that by faith through grace they may receive it. But if we don't speak it, how will they know it? How beautiful are the feet of those that carry the gospel. Isn't that what the Scripture says? It's not just pastors. It's believers. I pray that you carry the gospel. I pray that you carry it everywhere that you go. He says, why can you see that small fleck in your brother's eye, but you don't even notice the beam in your own eye? Because I'm arrogant. Because I'm following my standards. Because I think I know what I'm doing. And I'm really a fool. Maybe you don't have this problem. Praise God. He says, or how will you actually say to your brother, come here. Come here. Let me take that little speck out of your eye. Oh, duck a little bit so this beam can go over your head. That's the drastic example of this. Let me help you with your little bit of sin there that you've got going on. And don't worry about the big monkey on my back. He brings out this reality. James says, you can't. You can't have a little bit and think that you're righteous. He says, you're a hypocrite. You're a play actor when you act this way. He says, you've got to first get your life right. How do you get your life right? He says, hypocrite, play actor, cast out the beam out of your own eye. How do you do that? How do you get clean? By faith through grace. By the work of God. Have we allowed the Holy Spirit to examine our lives? Have we allowed the Holy Spirit to work in our lives? And even though we may see things that are difficult in people's lives or what we consider to be wrong, do we also know that we have these bad habits too? It may not be exactly like theirs. That guy, he's got a real problem. He drinks vodka. I only drink beer. Wine's socially acceptable. But not vodka. I know these are radical excuses, but think about it. We get that way. As human beings, we get that way. Well, I go to church 3 times a month. I go to church 2 times a month. They only show up at Christmas and Easter. Brothers and sisters in Christ, why do we put limits? Why do we put gauges? Why do we do these things? Even the very thought of ourselves being above somebody else is wrong. How can we do it? When we follow the flesh, when we follow the standards of men, when we follow the religions of men, we lose heart with the world. We lose heart with the world. I was raised in a very conservative community. I don't speak about it much. I was actually excommunicated by a lot of people because I was Dave Aho's son. My dad was divorced back in the 1970s, first time, 1960s maybe, and then once again in about 1982, raised around the Apostolic Lutheran groups. It was not very popular. And the fact of it is you turn around and you see how people now bring you into judgment. They bring you into this understanding and they start condemning you basically because of things that your parents had done. I don't understand their relationship. I don't understand what happened. It's not my business in reality. But not one person that ever came to me with judgment in their voice saying, you're Dave Aho's boy, eh? Yeah, he's that country and western singer, eh? Yeah, that divorced one. How's that make you feel? How does it make me feel? Wonderful! there was peace in our house. You don't understand what went on in our house. It made me feel wonderful. For once, there was no more fighting, there was no more nagging, there was no more Christmas is ruined. By whose family do we go to? And the reason I bring this out is that we can stand in judgment over different people and their lifestyles or the way they are. But have we been in their shoes? Have we come from where they come from? Do we understand one thing that they've been through? No. We talk in ignorance. You don't know why someone is doing what they're doing. Why don't you get to know them first? And maybe, just maybe. Jesse, you're a hypocrite. Because you have judged so many people. And you don't even know where they've been. You don't know what they've been brought through. You see that little speck in their eye and you're trying to get over your beam so you can get it out. Who do you think you are? He says, get right first. He says, and don't. And this is an interesting thing. People take this text, this verse out of context so bad. Verse 6. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs. Can it mean the word of God? Absolutely. I've seen people say, don't share with them because they're not worthy. Excuse me? Where do you get off thinking that? Do you know what is holy? God's people. God's children. He's saying, don't discard them. This is my opinion on it, and you can argue later. Don't think you're so holy and righteous, so perfect, that you take His own children and cast them away, cut them off, bring them to such a judgment that you throw them out to the dogs. He says, and don't cast your pearls before the swine. Don't take the beautiful gift that God has given. Each and every one of us is a gift. Don't take and cast that before the swine. He says, because you know what's going to happen? The swine will trample them under their feet, we know that, but eventually they'll start attacking you. And that's with the hypocrisy that the world may find in the church. They say they're Christians, but yet they cast this one out. They say they're Christians, but yet they've done this. Is that the resurrection? Is that the hope of that empty tomb? Is that what Christ preached on Good Friday when He said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing? Can we not have that same heart? Enter into this world with actually a grain of forgiveness? And not judgment? My main purpose for sharing with you about my lifestyle, not to bring any bad light to my mother and father, but is for you to realize that when I lived in a conservative community, I had many people judging me just because of whose boy I was. And not one of those people, not one of them ever asked me if I knew Christ. Not one of them ever shared the gospel with me. But there were the individuals within our group that came to me with love and shared the gospel of love, did not judge me for who I was. And God allowed them to be used to win my heart over. Have you ever been won over by love? I have. I would pray that each and every one of you that is here today has been won over by love. Because what is the greatest example of love? Jesus Christ giving Himself for us. You're not going to win people over by beating them up, cutting them off, or condemning them. The only way to win them over is to give a great example of Jesus Christ and His love. He turns around and he says, you know, don't do this. Don't attack others. Don't cast them out. Don't feed them to the dogs or cast them to the swine, because that's going to bite you in the butt. It's just the way it is. So now how do you do this? How do you get the beam out of your own eye? How do you not cast people out? How do you live this life? Verse 5, verse 6 is answered by verse 7. If we would read our scripture, ask. Ask. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you shall find it. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Do we ask the Heavenly Father? Do we ask Him to reveal Himself? Not just to me. Not just by the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. But ask that He would reveal Himself to another. That He would confront the individual where they need to be confronted. There's no doubt there's people living in difficulty. But do we cut them off? Or do we pray for them? Ask. He says, because this is the promise. Everyone that asks receives. And everyone that seeks finds. And everyone that knocks, it will be opened unto them. This is, in reality, a promise. It may not be to our liking, but God will have His way. And He will reveal. And He brings out a very simple understanding. He says, which one of you being a father or a man, when your son turns around and asks for you that he wants bread? You know, you guys are sinners. But yet you know to give bread. Your little child is in their high chair. Do you put rocks on it? And say, be full? He says, no. You give bread. Or asks of a fish. How many of you would give him a serpent? He says, if you being sinful in nature, you being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. He's bringing this into comparison. You being frail, you still know how to do good things. How much more do you think God, your Heavenly Father, will do to them that ask? It's not just on the standard of the one that's in the issue. It's to the standard of the one that's worried about the one that is having the issue. Do we pray for them? Do we encourage them? He says, therefore, he says, whatever you want people to do to you, he says, do to them. The golden rule. We understand this. And he says, you know what? This is perfection. Love God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, and love thy neighbor as thyself. We raise children with this understanding. But do we do it? Do we put the best construction on the individuals? Are we too focused on the sin that we can't see the sinner? Are we so focused on the unrighteous living that we can't see the righteousness of Jesus Christ? And which one of us, of our own device or our own accord, can literally add to our height by thinking about it? Brothers and sisters in Christ, are we bringing the people of this world or the people that are struggling, are we bringing them us? Or are we showing them the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who takes their sin debt? That by love, they would be encouraged to change. It's an interesting thing. He says, enter into the straight gate. He says, for wide is the gate and the broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Another great one that gets taken way out of context. And many there are that which go in. What is the straight gate? Very interesting. What is that gate? It's Jesus Christ. People don't like to hear that. Some within our group would argue with me on it, and that's fine. They can argue all day long. But Jesus tells us very, very, very plainly, verily, verily, I say unto you, in the Gospel of John, chapter 10, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. Jesus says this, not Jesse, not some seminarian, not Dave Aho's boy, but Jesus Christ Himself says this. I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If any man enter in me, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out. Not be afraid, but go in and out and find what? Pasture. To live in Christ. To find security in Christ. See, we like to scare the bejeebers out of anybody that may actually go to an ELCA church. Or maybe a Methodist church. Or maybe Roman Catholic. Whatever it may be. As human beings, when we're in our little groups, we think that way. That's foolishness. In and through Jesus Christ. So yes, is the gate narrow? Absolutely. It is narrow. Saved by grace through faith, by the blood of Christ. That is the door. So, being narrow in scope, who can enter in? All who believe. It's not narrow in salvation. Jesus says very plainly, enter that straight gate. It is in and through Christ Jesus and Him alone. Why do we argue the other things? Allow the Spirit to do its work. Allow the truth to be revealed, but may we love and continually love to bring people to a more exacting manner of the Scriptures. He said, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth to life. He says, and there's honestly few that will find it. Why? Because they're looking to everything else. My question to you, brother and sister in Christ, yes, on this great second Sunday of Easter, what gate are we pointing to? The understandings of men? The traditions of men? Or to Christ Jesus and Him alone? Who's gonna change the life? Me and my guilt? Me and my conscience? For the power of the Holy Spirit and the blood applied to the heart. Behold the Lamb of God, who alone takes the sin of the world. May we always point to Him. May we praise God for that empty tomb, because it is our empty tomb by faith through grace. May we love the sinner, but yes, reject the sin. But honestly, if we preach the truth and one comes to faith, they will reject the sin themselves. Oh, if we could learn that. For Jesus' name's